Call the hearing back to order. Case 1191, on a motion of the commission directing Earl Schwartz doing business with Gopher Oil Inc. and Earl Schwartz Company to show cause why his wells in Mohawk Field, Botno County, North Dakota should not be shut in for failure to comply with general rules and regulations. For those persons wishing to testify, please stand and take the oath. You do solemnly promise that the testimony you're about to give in this hearing should be the truth, so help you God.
I do.
My name is Erling Brostman. I reside at 1204 Park Place, Williston, North Dakota. I'm employed with North Dakota Geological Survey as a field inspector and geologist in the Williston office. The wells involved in the, and the leases involved in the hearing today are those which were inspected by Governor Link and Attorney General Olson on May 7th of last year in Mohawk Field, Botno County, North Dakota. On that particular inspection trip, they were accompanied by Mr. Murray Sagsveen, Dr. E.A. Noble, and myself. We were met in the field at Mohawk by Mr. Schwartz and two of his employees. On April 26th of this year, I again inspected the leases, nearly a year following the first inspection by the Industrial Commission. I was accompanied on that particular inspection trip by Mr. Ken Callistead and Mr. Francis Schwint of the State Health Department. The following leases were found in violation of general rules and regulations, and the rules violated consist or include Rule 5, Rule 310, and Rule 314. They are in the orange-colored book here. Rule 5 is on page 39. And has to do with prohibiting waste. The last paragraph of that rule on page 40 states that all operators, contractors, drillers, carriers, gas distributors, service companies, pipe pulling and salvage contractors, or other persons shall at all times conduct their operations in the drilling, equipping, operating, producing, plugging, and abandonment of oil and gas wells in a manner that will prevent waste of oil and gas, and shall not allow either oil or gas to leak or escape from a natural reservoir or from wells, tanks, containers, pipe, or other storage conduit or operating equipment. We found that the leases, I believe every lease inspected or involved in this hearing was found to be in violation of Rule 5. Rule 310 is found on page 56. Has to do with oil tanks and firewalls, and it states oil shall not be stored or retained in earthen reservoirs or in open receptacles. Dikes or firewalls must be erected and kept around oil tanks or battery of tanks when deemed necessary by the commission. On inspection of a number of the leases, we found that oil was being stored in earthen pits, a violation of Rule 310. Rule 314 is found on page 57 and continues to page. Yes.
You found that oil was being stored in earthen
pits.
Oil that is going to be used for
It is oil that perhaps could have been recovered and was not, and is presently being stored in earthen pits.
These pits actually waste pits, are they not? They're sludge pits?
They are not a legal pit. They have not been permitted by the staff of the Geological Survey as emergency pits or saltwater disposal pits. They are pits which were to have been removed in the past and have not been. Rule 314 states it has to do with the pollution by saltwater. And the last paragraph on page 57 states that on 1 October 1970, all surface pits or containers which have not been inspected and approved by the Office of State Geologist and assigned permit number shall be emptied and leveled or removed. On our inspection of the leases, we found a number of these pits still in existence. They had water in them and/or oil, and such pits were in violation of Rule 314. I will testify as to the conditions existing on these particular leases as of April 26, 1974. Mr. Callister is prepared to testify as to the condition on these leases, of these leases, during the period from May 7, 1973, when the Commission inspected the leases, to April 26th. With your permission, I'll continue on with the my statement as to the condition of the leases on page 26, on April 26. Ivan Geringer, Tract 1, Number 1, Southwest Northeast, Section 31, Township 162 North, Range 83 West. Crude oil and gas have been allowed to escape at the wellhead. There was a considerable amount of oil around the wellhead, and gas was bubbling through the crude oil. This constitutes a violation of Rule 5. Mohall Park, Number 1, Northeast Southwest, Section 31, Township 162 North, Range 83 West. Crude oil has been allowed to escape from equipment on the lease. It has flowed into an old reserve pit to the north of the well. The pit has been condemned, but has not been backfilled. The crude oil is being stored in an earthen pit. Violations of Rules 314, 310, and 5. This was the lease, you may recall, Governor, which was adjacent to, was it Cutbank Creek? And there are salt crystals apparent on the banks of Cutbank Creek, apparently from this well. The Carl O. Gilsis, Number 1. Southwest Northwest of Section 5, Township 161 North, Range 83 West. There is crude oil on the ground. It has apparently been allowed to escape from the standpipe on the flare line to the pit. The crude is moving towards the flare pit. This constitutes a violation of Rule 5, waste prohibited. The Rotoraki, Number 1, Southwest Northeast Section 6, Township 161 North, Range 83 West. There was much crude oil on the ground. It appears to be due to backing leaks on a circulating pump, leaks to the treater, and the running over of the crude oil storage tank. The oil has flowed into a slough and a field. It constitutes a violation of Rule 5, waste prohibited. The Anna V. Rouse, et al. Number 1. Southwest Southeast Section 31, Township 162 North, Range 83 West. Oil has been allowed to escape from equipment on lease and has flowed out into a field. Crude oil is being stored in an earthen pit. Constitutes violations of Rules 5 and 310. Sam Simpson, et al., Number 2. Northeast, Northeast, Section 6, Township 161 North, Range 83 West. Crude oil has been allowed to escape from equipment on the lease, including the storage tank, circulating pump, and flare line standpipe. The crude oil has flowed onto a field to the east for a considerable distance. This constitutes a violation of Rule 5. Then we have the lease which I've just discussed, or operated by Earl Schwartz as Earl Schwartz Oil Company Incorporated. The following leases are operated as by Earl Schwartz as Gopher Oil Company. Carl Gilseth, Number 1. Southwest, Southwest, Section 5, Township 161 North, Range 83 West. Crude oil has been allowed to escape onto the ground by the treater. The oil has flowed on water into unpermitted pits and onto a field. The unpermitted pits have not been backfilled as required by Rule 314. Violations of Rule 5, 310, and 314. George Sherson, et al., Number 1. Southwest Southeast Section 6, Township 161 North, Range 83 West. Crude oil has been allowed to escape from the flare line standpipe and out into a field. Other leaks have occurred in the treater house and at the circulating pump. Unpermitted pits have not been backfilled. Constitutes violation of Rule 5 and 314. The George Whiteman, Number 1-A. Northeast, Northeast, Section 7, Township 161 North, Range 83 West. Lease is in extremely poor condition. The salt water tank has been allowed to run over. Crude oil on the surface of the tank has escaped and run over onto the ground. crude oil is being stored in an earthen pit constitutes violations of Rule 5 and 310. And these include the investigation, or reported investigation of my inspection on April 26th.
And these wells are being produced on a regular basis?
That is correct. I believe they are.
What kind of production? These are all pumped, right?
Yes, they are.
Are they operating for a certain number of months a year, a certain number of days a month, or are they operated on a pretty regular basis?
Most of these wells have been produced on a regular basis, some 31 days. This is the month of March. Only 2 days, or 4 days rather, during the month of March. The total production for these wells during the month of March was 7,237 barrels.
How many wells is that totally to be on?
Twelve wells. And two of these were shut in. Two of these are shut in.
It's an average of 20 barrels a day.
Two of these wells were shut in, and so you can divide that by 10.
20 barrels a day.
Production by 10.
See, 600, it'd be 600 barrels per month per well, and that would be 20 barrel a day well for each well. See, if you got 7,200 barrels, and there's 12 wells, that'd be 600 per well.
Is he operating the wells, or does he have the contract for operating some
no.
part?
No, Earl Schwartz is operating the wells himself. He has employed pumpers for the wells, of course, to look after them, but he is the operator.
Haven't been in contact with him in this period of reinspection?
My report was sent to the state geologist. However, Mr. Callistad can testify as to contacts with Mr. Schwartz in regard to these violations in the past. And I believe you recall from our trip last spring that at that time we had his production shut down in Northeast Foothills Field. This was by an order of the commission following a hearing, I think, in January of 73. And at that time, he stated that when he gets his clinic work done over there, he would move his equipment to Mohall Field and begin work over there. But the conditions are as bad or worse as they were when you were there in the last year.
As I recall, one of the last sites we inspected that afternoon was
some operators, we have had violation of rules and regulations, and we have contacted them, and they have taken necessary steps to remedy the situation. In Mr. Schwartz's case, this is not, has not been possible. And,
but I suppose the logical question then to follow that, what will acting on this case or this order here that we're hearing today, how will that in by itself hold problems of any even further or better cooperation or response with the center?
Well, of course, Mr. Schwartz will lose financially by having his production shut in. That would be...
Have Jerry explain it. Have Jerry explain the legal process. Mr. Callistan can testify that I personally have not contacted Mr. Schwartz. Mr. Callistan has written letters to be written by the state geologist, and he has been informed of the violations, and he would be better qualified to testify as to the qualification of Mr. Schwartz.
Callistan, North Dakota Geological Surveyor, reside in Bismarck and work in the Bismarck office. Well, most of this is about what Erling had to say, except for different dates that I've been there, other than the April 26th. And Earl Schwartz Company, Ivan Geringer, track one, number one, on May 14th, there was no change in the lease, no improvements.
May 14th
of
this year?
Yeah.
This was after
the notice. Yes. Oh, that's in the letter there. Do you want me to point out? Dr. Noble, yes. There's so many letters here. The letter of October 29th was quite conclusive on the Mohall field, too. That'd be October of 1973. and March 8, 1974. Preliminary reports reaching this office indicate an intolerable situation in the Mulhall field. I trust that the EPA, through the State Health Department, has been properly notified of every spill that has occurred recently in this field. You are also reminded that state regulations specify that all leases must be kept clean for safety reasons. To avoid a shut-in order, I urge you to proceed immediately to clean up any spilled oil. I am sure you realize that a sudden thaw could make the situation more worse. Any spill would spread and excess would become next to impossible. That's E.A. Noble. And a copy of that was sent to the Industrial Commission, the State Health Department, and to North Dakota Geological Survey Office. April 29th was another letter sent. May 2nd, 1974, Mr. Earl Schwartz. You are hereby notified that the Commissioner of North Dakota has scheduled for hearing. This is a hearing. We haven't been up here on this one either. This one, I think you all got a copy of this one. May 2nd.
What date was that letter?
May 2nd.
Is that the letter notifying him of this hearing today?
Yes. He's been up there since then, and he burnt the oil up on the Ivan Geringer. But while burning that, he burned up a bunch of trees also. That's a row of trees through the field there, and about 20 trees were burnt up. So he's been notified several times. I have called him a few times. I've called him several times from the field. And,
you visited him personally?
Pardon?
You visited him, Mr. Schwartz?
Well, he's pretty hard to find.
Somebody in charge?
Yeah, I've talked to his pumper up there in the field quite often. I've informed him about spills on these leases.
You have talked to Mr. Schwartz by phone, have you not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's hard to get him. I talked to his secretary there a lot of times. And one time to Bell. But, doesn't seem to help much. But most of the spills now that should have been cleaned up, this oil is running into the fields, you see. And farmers are going to start dragging this around all over. Did a good job on one of the leases last fall and cleaned it up, but now that's been changed again. There's oil spills on that one again. That's the Anna Roos. Erling went through most of it. I've just got the other dates up here, and then we have these letters. So.
Did anyone from Grand Forks Office of Geological Survey know whether that letter to Mr. Schwartz notified him this hearing was sent by a certified mail? Mr. Folsom, it was.
Wasn't it, Jack?
Yes.
We got the receipt back.
Did anyone else have any questions?
Mr. Gallenstedt,
Are you aware of, as to whether Mr. Schwartz has contacted the health department in regards to any of these spills?
No, I've called the health department, and they say that they've never been contacted on these spills, or reports sent in, or anything on these spills. Of course, everyone is supposed to call them. I think there is, Francis went of the health department is here now.
Mr. Schwartz? Can you verify the fact whether or not any notifications have been made to the health department of the oil spill?
We've received three reports of oil spills on the oil spill. All three have come through Mr. Kelsman.
You've not received any from Mr. Schwartz?
Yes, no, sir.
Does anyone else have any questions? Is there anyone here representing Mr. Schwartz? Does anyone else wish to testify in the matter? If not, the commission will take it under advisement. We'll move on to case 1192.